So I want to ask you a couple questions this morning. I want to talk to you about how valuable you are. If you're taking notes, write this down. This is a sermon title, You Are All That and a Bag of Chips. If you're not taking notes, write this down. You are all that and a bag of chips. You know, it's interesting because how many know Satan doesn't take a vacation? And let me just tell you, because I want you to know, one of the things that Satan will really aim at more than anything else is your confidence. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to just think that you're less than you are. He is relentless in his pursuit to drag you down. And so, how many know at Christmas he doesn't take a day off? And to be honest with you, many times Christmas is a time where you can even feel more, intimidated. You can even feel, less confident. So I want to talk to you about it because it so applies today, that you would understand you are all that in a bag of chips. And I want to let you know this. I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm telling you the truth. I remember growing up, and my dad thought I was all that in a bag of chips. You know what I mean? I'm serious. Thank you. But, my dad's house, he still talks about how I was the butterfly champion at Pioneer High School. Amen. He, Tamara, is this not true? If you go over, I'm not lying. If you go over to my house and you meet my dad, you know what he's going to tell you? He's going to tell you, let me tell you what. Drew is a butterfly champion at Pioneer High School. And he'll go through the whole story every time. When I was a kid, though, I thought, that's just my dad being my dad. I just discounted it. I didn't think I was all that in a bag of chips. And Satan, I don't know where you're at. My thought is, I bet you, I don't know that that's a good term for a pastor to use, but anyway, I bet you that in this room, if we ask you what your confidence level is, for many of you, it wouldn't be what the truth is. Because here's the truth, you're all that in a bag of chips. My first point is this, and I want you to, actually, don't go to my first point. This is my pre-point, so I don't even have it in my notes. But I want you to understand this. I want you to catch this. Just because you don't value something does not change its true value. I must say that again. Just because you don't value something doesn't change its value. It's valuable whether you recognize it's valuable or many times whether you don't recognize it's valuable. You know, I've got some great examples. Guys, show me some of my examples up here on the screen. Some of the pictures. No, not that picture. Go to the other series of pictures. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so you might look at that and go, man, that's not very valuable. That's not very valuable. Somebody paid $5 for that, and some of you at a garage sale would look at that. You wouldn't even pay $5 for that. You'd think, $5, man, I'm going to go over and get Tommy's burger. I don't want that. How many know if you had that, you could buy a lot of Tommy's burgers? Yeah. Somebody bought that for $5. You know how much they sold it for? More. A lot more. They sold that for $2 million. Yeah, they bought it at a yard sale for $5. They sold it for $2 million. How many know that was a good day at the garage sale? Watch this. For someone. How many know the person who sold it for $5 is maybe eating a Tommy's burger? $2 million. Go to the Lombardi sweater. Yeah. Somebody bought this at a garage sale. I think they spent $2 for it. They sold it. No, I'm sorry. Way overbought. They 58 cents. They paid 58 cents for it. When they got home, they recognized that inside it said Lombardi. And they verified that was Vince Lombardi's, you know what, West Point sweater. Sold it for $43,000. $43,000. I mean, that was a good day. Okay. Somebody purchased. Go ahead and show me that bowl. Show me this bowl. Somebody purchased this bowl. You know what? My dogs drink out of a bowl much like that. I'm serious. They bought this bowl, again, at a garage sale. They bought it for $3. $3. See, how many know? Here's my point. There were people who saw that bowl. And they said, $3? I ain't going to spend $3 for that bowl. Here's why. Because they didn't value the bowl. But whether they saw it or not, all those people who passed that bowl by, it didn't change the value of the bowl. How much did that guy? He bought it for $3. He sold it for $2.2 million. How many know that was a good day? What's my point? My point is that I don't know what your value, what you think your value is, but whether you don't recognize, and my thought is, and here's why, because the Holy Spirit led me to preach this. How many know God knows everything? And one of the things I believe that God knows is that you are way undervaluing something that is very valuable to Him. So you might not recognize how awesome you are. You might be like me when my dad goes to tell the butterfly story, you know what, for the 100th time, and I just think, oh, that's just my dad being my dad. But you know what the truth is? The truth is, we are all that in a bag of chips. Now let's talk about all that in a bag of chips. You know what? I got a revelation on this. I was thinking, wow, all that in a bag of chips. What's all that in a bag of chips? And then I got a revelation in this. When Joel bought me a Subway sandwich, I asked him, hey, go over and buy me a Subway sandwich. He was kind enough, bought me a Subway sandwich. And I forgot to say, oh, and give me some chips. And I have the sandwich. And you know what I thought? I thought, man, this sandwich would be way better if I had a bag of chips. How many know a pastrami sandwich is good, but a pastrami sandwich with a bag of chips is really good? Is that not right? See, let me tell you what. You are all that and a bag of chips. You're the whole thing. Let me ask you this. Go to the cars. I'm just asking. Oh no. Can you go to the bed first? Go to the bed. I love this. It's so good. Okay. See, somebody look. Oh, that's too gaudy. That's too. You know what? This guy bought this bed for he spent $150 for this bed, for this bed frame. They found out that this was like Henry VIII's. They did a DNA test on this. They found out this was Henry VIII's bed. He sold it for about $15 million. Now watch this. How many know the guy walking, being paid $150, he's thinking, man, he's counting his $150, thinking, wow, I got $150 for that piece of junk. See, here's what I'm saying to you. Whether you recognize how valuable or whether you don't, it doesn't change your value. And I'm going to show you in the Word of God how valuable you are. Go ahead, go to the cars. You know what? So you're looking in this car. How many know? Nobody goes by this car and thinks, wow, man, that's a nice car. Well, some of you do, because some of you know. But how many know most people would look about it and not even think about driving? What about this one? What about this next one? What about this car? How many would say, man, that's a nice car? No, you can look at it and you can say, that's a piece of junk. What about this car? What about this car? You know, look at that car. That's, no, what a piece of junk. Look at that. Okay, but watch this. But somebody sees that, those cars, and here's what they see. Here's what they, how many know that is a cool car to drive? How many would like to be behind that car? I would, you know what I mean? Tamara's dad used to, we'd be driving, he'd go, oh, 58 Chevy, you know what? 52, he'd know, he knew all of them. Look at this next car. How many would like that? Oh, that. Oh, my goodness. How many would like that car? Okay. I would love that car. Tamara, Christmas coming up, I would love that car. Amen. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. How many would like that car? How many like me cruising around in that car? Listen, these were the same cars. Somebody saw their value. Somebody saw their value. Look at this passage of Scripture. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6. Look at this. So it was when they came that they looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Here's the story. And the prophet goes to find the king. Tell me, who is David's dad? Jesse. So he goes to Jesse's house, and he's got a bunch of the sons, and he's got the firstborn, and Samuel looks at him and says, oh my goodness, here's what he says, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And then God responds, and he says this to Samuel. He says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For the Lord looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, all this outward stuff, all this stuff, God's not looking at that. Samuel looks at Jesse's firstborn, and he says, wow, surely. I don't know. The guy was probably, you know what, a nice-looking man. He was probably tall, probably had big shoulders. He's thinking, man, surely. He's got his, you know what, all his nails are clean. He's looking sharp. And he says, oh, surely. You know what, the anointing of the Lord is on this guy. And God says, wait a minute, Samuel. You're about to make a mistake, and here's why. Because you're simply looking at this external stuff. Can I tell you what? We can do this with ourselves. And we look ourselves and we think, man, you know what? That other person is more handsome. Maybe they got more skills. Maybe they can speak better. You know what? Maybe they're, whatever, more athletic. Maybe they just, you know what? They look better. You know what I mean? They got good hair. Right? Maybe, and here's the thing that we say sometimes, you know what? And we know all this stuff about us. Maybe they didn't do the stupid things that I did. Surely the anointing is on them. And God says, well, wait a minute. I'm not looking at the outside. I'm not looking at the past. I'm not looking at what you did. I'm looking at your heart. Look at this passage. This passage is in Luke. And remember what Jesus points out in Luke? Look what he says. Therefore I say, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. So she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves a little. Listen, what's my point of bringing this up? Yeah, maybe you did a lot of stupid things wrong in the past. But maybe you love God more than most people love God. And here's why. Because you recognize, God has forgiven me so much. See, you know what this lady was doing? This lady recognized how awesome Jesus was because of how much she needed to be forgiven. And God forgave her completely. Look at this. This is the verse before. I love this verse. Look what it said. This is Jesus talking to these other people, and they're complaining. Oh my goodness, this lady's so stupid. This lady is so foolish. She took almost a year. It would cost this oil was so expensive. It cost nearly a year's worth of work to pay for this. And they're thinking, man, this lady's crazy dumb. Jesus gives it perspective. And I love what he says. He says, you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman anoints my feet with this fragrant oil. You didn't even anoint my head. But she's walking in such humility, she comes around and just anoints my feet with this expensive oil. Can I tell you what? She didn't see it as a waste. They saw this as a waste. She didn't see it as a waste. She saw it as, oh my goodness, this is Jesus, the Son of the living God. This is my Messiah. I could guarantee you, she thought, what more could I do? This is not enough. Here's my point. You look at it and you see what you've done in the past and all the things that you've done wrong and all the sins that you've committed and all the things, all the dope that you smoked, all the drunkenness that you were in, all the sex up that you got into, all the fool, all the stupid, all the lying, conniving. You know what? You look at all that stuff, and what I want to remind you is, can I tell you why you're so passionate about God? Can I tell you why you're so, God is so awesome? Here's why. Because you were so foolish. And listen, and God didn't care. He didn't care. He saw that, show me that old car. Show me one of those old cars. He saw that. And here's what he said. He said, now that is valuable. What I'm saying to you today is stop looking at yourself like that. And start looking at yourself like that. Because that's how valuable you are. That's who you start to identify. That's who I am. Can somebody say amen to this?
Amen.
Now, let me take a short time, but let me prove it to you from the word. Number one point is this. You were all that in a bag of chips. Here's why I can prove it. Because the birth of Jesus proves it. The birth of Jesus proves it. Why is somebody pay, you know what, $500,000 for a two-bedroom, one-bath home in East L.A.? Why do they do that? Here's why. Because it's worth it to them. Amen. I could show you a five-bedroom, five-bath, you know what, beautiful house in Wisconsin. Amen. And you couldn't even get half of that. Why? Because it's snowy, it's cold, it's miserable. Nobody wants to live in Wisconsin. Well, almost nobody. See, here's my point. Why? Philippians, chapter 6, chapter 2, verse 6 says this, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal to God. That verse is just saying Jesus knew who he was. He was God. And to declare that he was God, he didn't feel uncomfortable knowing he is with God the Father there in heaven, and he is God. And he doesn't feel uncomfortable being God, because he knows that's who he is. He didn't see it robbery. He didn't feel like, oh, I gotta, no. He was the Son of God, and he knew he was God, and he felt comfortable. But watch this. Look at the next verse. Look what it says. Look what this next verse says. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. We used to watch this show. I love this show. And what they had is they had these CEOs, most of them multi-million dollar CEOs. And they had these CEOs and they would dress up, you know what? So this CEO was over this big, huge trash company, you know what? Millions and millions of dollars. He's worth millions and millions of dollars. And he felt disconnected. So what they did is they'd dress him up like a trash guy, and he'd go... And they'd say, hey, Joe, this is your new, apprentice. You know what? You got to teach him the ropes, and he's going to be doing trash with you for the next week. And you have to train him. It was the CEO. And most of these guys, they never saw the CEO. They don't know what he looks like. You know what I mean? And they're like, okay, come on, buddy. Let's go. You know what I mean? And it was amazing what these CEOs learned as they, emptied trash for a week. Can I tell you what? That's nothing compared to what Jesus did. He humbled himself to the point of a bondservant. And he humbled himself even to when Jesus says, when God says, Jesus, there's no other way. Remember in the garden? I'm going to talk to that about in a minute. Remember in the garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was like, God, is there some other way? The Father was like, no. You have to go to the cross. He was obedient even to death, and not like death like somebody's going to shoot you. How many death like somebody shoot you is kind of cool? Boom, you get shot, you're dead. No, not like that kind of dead. Like hanging on the cross. Please understand this. We don't understand how brutal this thing is. What's so brutal is you can't breathe. It's taking away your breath, but just a little bit at a time. Every breath, just a little bit of time. And it will take thousands of breaths before you die. You know what? You are nailed on a cross. Put nails, between your hands and your feet. And please understand, before any of that happened, he is beaten. You know why they beat them, 39 times? Because they had beaten so many people, they had been able to figure out if we do any more than 39 times, when we go 40 and 42 and 43 and 44, they just die. Wow. But we've noticed if we go to 39, that's a pretty good spot, that they're in incredible pain, but they're not dead yet. Understand that they literally skinned Jesus alive on his backside. That's what the whipping would do. It would go into the sin, because they'd put these rocks and stuff in the whip, and it'd catch their skin, and then they'd whip it back. They became very skilled, and it would tear their skin apart. So, Pastor, just making me feel uncomfortable. It's intended to make you feel uncomfortable. Here's why. Because we make light of what happened. Jesus was beaten so bad that he was unrecognizable. Now, think about it for a minute. Why? Why did he go through that? Why did he come? Here's why he came. He came because you were so valuable. See, Jesus proves your value. Jesus, him coming to this earth, proves how valuable you are. Number one. Number two, you know what? His birth proves it. Number two, his death proves how valuable you are. Come on. he didn't just come and was born. He was come and was killed, was beaten. I described it to you. Oh, did I tell you what? He didn't have, listen. It's, he was naked. They don't show you that in the movies. You know what I mean? When he was crucified, he was absolutely naked. This is brutal, and it's embarrassing, and it's humiliating. Why did he do that? Here's why. Listen, don't you dare wake up tomorrow and think you're not all that in a bag of chips. Because Jesus' birth proves it. Jesus' death proves it. It proves it. No greater love has any man than this, that he give his life for a friend. Jesus loved you. God loved you so much. So much. Why? Because you're all that in a bit. He thinks you're all that. You might not know it, but he knows it. Amen? You're like that bull. You think you're worth $3. You're not worth $3. You're worth $20 million. No, you're priceless. There's no price. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 through 4. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Why did he endure the cross? How many know Jesus had the power? All Jesus had to do is say, God, Father, get me out of this mess. How many know there Jesus is doing supernatural works all over the place? How many know for him to call Jesus told the wind to stop, and it stopped. How many know it would have been no big deal for Jesus to say, hey, God, get me out of this mess. And like that, he healed other people. You think he couldn't heal himself? You think there couldn't have been a supernatural thing right there? Why did he endure the cross? Why didn't he call upon these legions of angels? Why didn't he do that? Here's why. He endured the cross, okay, despising the shame. Why? Why? For the joy that was set before him. Who was the joy that was set before him? You. You were the joy that was set before him. Without Jesus dying, your sin was on him. He doesn't die. You know what? He doesn't take your sin. Guess what? You have your sin. You have your sin. You will not be with the Father forever. The Father cannot tolerate sin in his presence. Won't exist. Can't exist. So he needs. You know, there's a story of two men, and they were in Europe, and they went to one of these large cathedrals, and their job was to go up on the roof and to fix the roof. They are up on this roof hundreds of feet high, and with a big pitch on the roof, and one of the roofers starts to slip. He tries, he can't catch himself, and he falls. His friend sees him slipping, sees him falling, doesn't know what's happened, gets off the roof as quickly as he can, comes all the way down, and thinks he's going to see his friend just splattered on the ground. He comes around the corner, and he sees his friend brushing himself off. He says, oh my goodness, what happened? And then his friend looks over at a dead sheep that had been walking by. He falls on the sheep. It breaks his fall. The sheep is killed instantly. And he gets up and brushes himself off. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God. That is the Lamb of God. That is the Lamb that God has sent to take away your and I's sin. That was the joy. He's thinking, man, if I do this, you know what? There's going to be a day that Tamara will get to be with my Father. Because my Father will see her as sinless. And she will be sinless because I will take her sin. See, let me tell you what. Don't you dare wake up tomorrow and look in the mirror. Even if you have a receding hairline and a little chub. I'm serious. Don't you dare look at yourself and think you're not all that in a bag of chips. And all the silly things that you did in junior high and high school, and for some of you, even 2 weeks ago. Don't you dare look at yourself and think anything, but you know what? But you are all that in a bag of chips. Here's why. Because Jesus' birth proves it. His death proves it. And finally, are you learning something today?
Yeah.
And finally, listen to me. Jesus, God says it himself. Look at this. This is such an awesome scripture. This is in Psalms. In Psalm 16. And verse 3 says this. Look at this. As for the saints, oh yes, hallelujah, the saints, the Catholic saints. No. Wait a minute. We get mixed up. How many used to be Catholic? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You used to be Catholic. Okay. How many used to be Catholic and you never went to church? Raise your hand. Okay. And I'm not ripping against Catholic people. I love Catholic people. Amen. Went to a Catholic. How many know I went to Catholic school for a little while? Amen. I went to Catholic school for a little while. It was a trip, man. I tripped out. You know what? I was totally tripping out. You know, because I was raised in a Baptist church. Amen. And in the Baptist church, you know what? The pastors didn't smoke. Amen. I was tripping out. I walk by and I see the father all dressed up and he's smoking a cigarette. I'm like, oh my goodness. I've never seen that before. You know what? And then I remember they had this big festival. This big festival, we got to go home early, and everybody bought tickets to go to the festival. You know what? I go to the festival. I can't believe this. I go to the festival, and you know what? They're selling beer at the festival, and a bunch of the people are all drunk there. I'm like, oh my, what is that? I don't even understand. This was such a crazy concept in my mind. Amen. And I'm not advocating smoking, and you know what? You know, you're not going to see me next week with a can of Budweiser smoking a cigarette. It's not my point. My point is, believe it or not, here's my point. I love Catholic people. But there are a bunch of saints. Mother Teresa and somebody else, I don't even know my Catholic saints. Okay, but anyway, no. The Bible, you know what? When you got born again, the Bible says you're a saint. Amen? This is talking about you. Say, this is talking about me. For the saints who are on the earth, that's you. Amen? For the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is... See, he says it. Some of my delight? No. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you about you guys. God is, here's what he's speaking about us. He says, here's, you are the excellent one. You need to look in the mirror as you're shaving, you know, tomorrow and say, I am the excellent one. Why? Because see, that's your value. Stop thinking you're a $5, you know what, Lombardi sweater. You are not a $5 Lombardi sweater. You're not a $3 bowl. Amen. You are, according to God says, you are the excellent ones. You are. That's who you are. In whom is not some of my delight, all of my delight. I don't know how you came in here today. But I hope you walk out with a greater understanding. I hope. First of all, next week is going to be Christmas. How many know Christmas Day is a week from today?
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to be here at 9 and I'm going to be here at 11. Amen. Is that what you usually do? No, usually I'm at home with my family eaten a ham breakfast. That's always, that's one of our truths. We eat a ham breakfast. Well, you're not going to do that? I ain't going to do it. Why? Because I'm going to be here. Here's why. Because next week, thank you, brother. Because next week is Jesus's, we're celebrating Jesus's birthday. Amen. And I'm going to celebrate it at home, but I'm going to celebrate it at home after I've celebrated it with you and 9 and 11. Amen? But here's my point. My point is, I want you to understand, Jesus came to rescue you because you were so valuable. Don't think you're a $3 bowl. You're not a $3 bull. You were worth it all. And I have proof. God says it. He was born and he died. Please understand, when Jesus, I'll say one more thing. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't saying, God, I don't want to do this. That wasn't what he was saying. Read it. He was saying, God, is there any other way that we can get this done and I don't have to do this? And when the Father said, there is no other way, he said, he was like, okay, guys, I got the word from the Lord. Let's get up. Those guys who are going to get me, they're here. How many know? Nobody got Jesus. You remember this story? I don't know if you remember this. Here's what happened. They came, they said, you know what, is this Jesus? And he said, yes. And they all went like this. Boom. Read it. They're all laying on the ground. Hundreds laying on the ground. Ooh. What? They got slain in the spirit. They all get slain. Oh, I don't believe in the slain in the spirit. Oh, I guarantee you those Romans believed in slain in the spirit. I'm not, listen, I know all kinds of fake stuff happens. I know that. But don't just discount the supernatural because you're pessimistic. Amen? I remember one time, I'll tell you the story. I remember when I was just a teenager, I thought, you know, this is some spiritual lady. And you know what? I was like, oh, I had a friend. She invited me to, you know, go to this, you know what, to be at this Bible study. She had this supernatural lady, never learned how to read, but she could read. She'd read the Bible, and she never learned how to read, supernatural. I'm like, oh, you know what, those crazy Pentecostals, you know what I mean? And but here's what happened. You know what? So I thought, she's not going to pray over me. I'm not going to be slain in the spirit. I'm not going to do all that fake stuff to make somebody feel comfortable. And I was on the porch talking to my friend. I knew I should have laughed. But then, you know what? She came out from me. She goes, oh, Drew, you know, my friend has to pray with you. I'm like, unbelievable. So I stand there, and I'm thinking, okay, you know what? Pray with me, but I'm not going to fall to make you feel comfortable, lady. And she didn't even touch my hand. She just went like this, and all of a sudden, I was looking up at the ceiling. I'm like, what happened? I remember Tamara and I went to a service one time, and they had all these steps, and we were coming up to being prayed for, and the evangelist went like this, whoa! And all of a sudden, there must have been, you remember this, Tamara? There must have been 50 people. We were, hey, don't you know protocol? I'm walking up the steps, you know, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, not because it was a domino effect. You know, was it a domino effect? It was a supernatural work. All of a sudden, we all were laying on each other. True story. It's like, what in the world? I'm not into fakeness. I'm not into phoniness. But I'm also not into just saying it's, you know what, phony because I don't understand it. They were all looking up. No, but you know, Jesus almost had, if you read it, it's all like Jesus had to remind them, hey guys, remember what you're here to do? Remember me? Nobody took his life. Listen, guys, I love you with all my heart, but we need to start seeing who we really are in Jesus Christ. Why are you all that in a bag of chips? Here's why. Because God says you're all that in a bag of chips. Because if you weren't worth it, his son wouldn't have come. He wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have come, and he wouldn't have died. So you celebrate Christmas, but you celebrate it, you know what, with your chest out and your head held high. Recognize God did it all for you. Tamara. Honey, I love your look today. Merry Christmassy.
All right. Thank you. I wanted to, it's so funny, I was getting ready this morning and I was wondering, wow, we haven't encouraged the people to be reading their Bible every day. Very good. And I hope that you're doing that without our encouragement. I hope that that's your lifestyle. But if you're not spending time in the Word, it's interesting because many times we don't value ourselves, and we predominantly don't value ourselves because we get so much of our value from how people value us. One of my favorite books, grabbed me. It's an opening, the opening line in the book. It's called Beyond the Tears, and I had it on the book cart, and we sold out, and I was trying to get it again, but I can't remember the author. But in the first opening pages, and she went through, you know what, a lot of betrayal in her marriage. And her husband was he was in a lot of bondage. And in the opening couple pages of the book, she says, she begins to describe this opening scene where, like she says, I walked in a doll shop, and they had all these rare dolls and all these beautiful brand new dolls all on the shelf. And then there was one doll that had, it was cracked and broken and glued back together. And she began to describe this doll, and in her, what she was saying in the book was, that doll's me. She names that doll. And she says, that doll's me. And she talked about how difficult it was for her the whole point of the book was her stopping to get so much of, just because her husband wasn't valuing her didn't mean that she wasn't valuable. And yet the interaction and the things that had taken place in their marriage, it caused her to find herself is very non-valuable. She saw herself as that broken, worthless doll that nobody wanted. But that wasn't who she was at all. And their marriage is restored today, and he values her very much. But she took his brokenness and she made it all about her because of the feelings that took place in that. We've got to be really careful. I love in the Word of God, God in the beginning in Genesis, and we all know this is familiar to us, God is speaking light and he's speaking everything into existence. But when it came to man, he did not speak man into existence. He made man with his own hands and with his own breath. Very, very intimate. Very, very personal. He shows us right from the very beginning how much he values us. And he is intimate with us. It's all over the Word of God. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. We are the apple of his eye. There's so much that he communicates through the scripture to let you know how intimate he is with you and how phenomenal you are to him. Now, that's a fact. But for us to understand that fact, we can't we cannot value ourselves as to who we really are if we don't do it through the eyes of God. Because circumstances and people around us who don't value us like that, that's where we get a lot of our perception of who we are from. That's why if we're not in the Word of God, we're probably not viewing ourselves as we should. Does that make sense? It's only through His eyes that you will see who you really are and how valuable you really are. But we've got to do it through Him, because through people, you know what? The best relationships to the worst relationships, you know what? We pick up the wrong perception. Amen? But through Him, we get a perfect picture of who we are and why we are so valuable. Amen? Amen. Amen.